This is attorney Larry Rowe. Question: why would you take a local auto crash case to a huge out-of-state law firm? Be smart, stay local, and visit me at LarryLRowe.com.
The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 580 WCHS, its employees, or WVRC Media. 580 Live is presented by Thornhill Automotive and is broadcast live from the Parmar Stores studio.
And good Monday morning to you, 9:08. Jeff Jenkins in today and tomorrow on 580 Live on 580 WCHS, the voice of Charleston. Dave Allen told you last week that he's going to take a couple of days off. And so he did. He actually did. He didn't come in today, so he asked me to host today and tomorrow. So we'll do exactly that. And we've got some information for you here on 580 Live on 580 WCHS. And don't forget, if there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be soon. And it's time for the all-new Thornhill Toyota National Sales Event. Visit them online at thornhilltoyotawv.com or in person at the Thornhill Motor Mile, US 119 on the Thornhill Motor Mile in Chapmanville. So good to be with you, Caitlin Murray. Caitlin did not go on vacation. So she is here, and she'll try to escort myself and Coop through the week. All right, so try to get us through and get us to really Memorial Day weekend, next weekend already? Wow. I think May is one of those months to be. May is one of those months that just seems to pass by quickly. I don't know. I mean, just it just seems to. You can get through April and kind of the up and down of April and then May, and then it seems like, wow, maybe because there's big events in May. I don't know. High school graduations, different things are happening, school year winding down, and before you know it, May's done, and May is done after we get through this week and then one day next week, and then we're into June. So coming up during the show over the next couple of minutes, first guest today will be Tom Williams, superintendent of schools in Kanawha County. And today is the last day of school in Kanawha County for the school year. It's over. It's over. Kanawha County schools done for the year, transitioning back to a more regular year this year after the year, the last couple of years impacted by COVID. So we'll check with Dr. Williams on that. They've already had all the high school graduations. We covered those last week in the newsroom. And so we're ready to get the summer started, and Tom Williams will be calling us in just a couple of seconds. And then Matt Sutton's here in the house, and he has a guest, Matt Sutton, with the mayor's office, chief of staff for Mayor Amy Schuler Goodwin. He's here, and we'll talk to Matt about some city issues coming up. And then around 9:45 or so, and this is also the time of the year we get the Run for the Wall. That effort scaled back over the last couple of years because of COVID, but full Run for the Wall is making its way across the country, and they'll be here in the Kanawha Valley by midweek. And so we're going to talk to one of those persons taking part in the Run for the Wall, and we are going to talk to them. They're going to be coming on I-64 coming up in the days ahead. So we'll be talking to him about their efforts. All right, Tom Williams is on the line. All right, Caitlin says, and so there he is. And I'm going to say good morning to
Good morning. How are you today?
Superintendent of Schools, I'm well. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
You know, Superintendent, I always liked the last day of school. It was like one of my favorite days.
Yeah, I think it's most people's favorite days.
Maybe it's because, you know, I grew up in Kanawha County, and I grew up in the 70s, and so I was in, you know, and I was graduated from high school in the early 80s. But there are a couple of times during my time in school, you know, my birthday's in early June, so a couple of times it hit on the last day of school.
Oh.
So that's like a daily double, right?
You're exactly right.
You got the last day of school, you got a built-in party, right?
You could ask for anything more.
That's right. Yeah, you go outside, you play, and you do all that stuff, especially in elementary school. But anyway, well, how about this year, Superintendent? It was really kind of a transitioning back to a more regular type of year after the challenges of COVID. Just give me your assessment. How do you think the year went?
It was exciting in that, as you just said, we were able to get back to some of the things the kids enjoyed. We were able to have homecomings and proms, plays and things, all-county music, band chorus, art shows, you know, athletics, The little ones were able to, and the older ones were able to do field trips and things of that nature. So it was really getting back to school. Finally, we were able to get rid of the masks sometime during the second semester. I don't remember exactly when. It's all a blur, but we finally were able to get rid of masks and move forward.
Superintendent, I know you, one of the things that you were and others concerned about were the ability to try to get the kids caught up. And I know there's probably still some more work to do in that area. Give me your assessment of that. Where are the kids as we end this year?
You know, we made a good dent in it, but we've been in the COVID mode for 2 years and a 9 week, so it's not going to be caught up in 1 year. But we've made a good dent in the issue, and we will continue to work. We're having summer school this summer, Summer Academy. We've got over 2,000 kids signed up for that, and including credit recovery for our high schoolers. So we still have opportunities even in the summer for kids to learn and to sharpen their skills.
I know there's always a concern about the younger kids learning to read and how crucial that is to be able to learn to read by the third grade. And I'm sure there's still some work there to do.
That's correct. And we had a new reading series. The state, every 7 years, 7 or 8 years, we have to adopt a new series like reading or math or science, et cetera. And this was the year for a new reading series. So our teachers worked diligently with that, and working with our students, they were able to target the ones who were having difficulty and give them the extra help they needed to help move them along.
Kanawha County School Superintendent Tom Williams is with us this morning on 580 Live. Last day of school in Kanawha County, and, you know, the county's been criticized some for kind of short summer breaks. This year, there's a little bit of a longer summer break because school starts later coming up in the fall.
That's correct. For several years, we had had an early start, and this year, you know, we listened to what the folks in the community had to say, and they wanted a later start, so we were able to go. I think it's August 22nd.
That's right.
It's when school begins. And so today's the last day. They'll have 3 full months of fun in the sun.
Right. And getting to get back at it. And you are able in that new school calendar, Superintendent, to kind of achieve, if everything stays okay and there's, you know, great amount of snow days and everything, to get off next year. And I'm already jumping way ahead here, but May 25th.
You are.
Yeah, I am. By May 25th, but you had to adjust the calendar in ways that really to achieve that, didn't you, to get kind of the early out.
That's correct. You know, we're given a lot of things that we have to have in the calendar by the state. You know, you have to do this and that. So in order to get an earlier start, we had to... You know, for example, in the last several years, we've had the whole week of Thanksgiving off, and this coming school year, we'll only have Thursday and Friday off, which gave us 3 extra days, you know, that we could use in the calendar. And Christmas break, I believe, is just a tad bit shorter, not too much. But, you know, there are certain things we have to have in there, and we have to have at least you're supposed to have 90 days a semester. You have to have at least 85 days in one semester, so that would mean you would have 95 in the next. So, you know, we work to get as much in there as possible.
You were pretty fortunate this school year with you didn't have a ton that I can remember, a ton of days just totally missed because of weather.
No, we really didn't. We were very fortunate. And, you know, as long as the power is on in most areas, we can do virtual learning. But we didn't have to do that this year. We have time built into our schedule. The state says you have to go to school X number of minutes, and we have extra minutes built into our schedule. So 5 of those days, I think we only missed 3 complete, I think. Don't quote me on that. But we had at least 5 days we could miss before we would have to do virtual learning. So,
a couple more minutes with Superintendent Tom Williams of Kanawha County Schools. Okay, this summer you've got tons of stuff going on. I want to start with construction. This will be a big summer for the Hoover Building construction. I know things are going like gangbusters there, and it'd be great to get a lot of work on that site done this summer.
Right, Hoover and Clendenin as well. We hope to start back on Clendenin here in the next month or so. Hoover is just progressing very, very nicely, and We pray for good summer weather so that we can continue and get both buildings open as soon as possible.
You were concerned, and there was concerns raised about the kind of the soil which you found in the soil at Clendenin. Have you gotten that solved? What's going on with that?
Yeah, we know, and the soil would cause swelling, which could crack the foundations, you know, when it got wet. And so we know what the issue is now. Now we're trying to find dirt to put back in, the dirt we take out, the peridic soil that we take out, and we're getting real close to that. And once we get that removed, then we'll be able to continue with construction.
Mm-hmm. So you've lost, what, 4 or 5 months there maybe?
Oh, since December.
Okay.
So, yeah, about 5 months.
Yeah, about 5 months there. But, I mean, in a way, you hate that, but in a way, you're glad you caught it before you got a lot of stuff in the ground there.
You know, exactly right. People ask, why didn't you all test for this? Well, this is something that is so odd. It's not in this part of the state at all. It's not something that's even tested for because it's so rare. And, of course, it would happen here. But we're thankful we caught it before the building was up, and then the building started to buckle, and we would wonder why. So we're very thankful that, you know, the workers up there were very, they had their eyes peeled, and when they saw something that didn't quite look right, they reported it, and we were able to get it tested and found out what the problem was.
Yeah, it was just kind of like by sight, right, at first.
Exactly. The foundations that were poured, and we do not have to replace the foundation, but the foundations that were poured, the dirt around those caused some rust stains on the concrete, and that's not supposed to happen. And so when they saw that, then they thought, well, something's not right. And so that's when we did the testing of the soil inside of the footprint of the building, which would had been soil that we brought in from on site. So once we saw that, then we knew we had an issue and we were able to deal with it.
Hmm. Okay, a couple more questions. One is you got the approval on the Cedar Grove building. So those kids, so the middle school kids, they start going to DuPont in the fall?
That's correct. We had our first initial meeting at the school last week. We have another one scheduled in June. Classrooms have been, we're getting ready to move, so to speak, move the kids out of, or move the teachers out of the middle school part, move the elementary teachers into some of the middle school part so we can start demolition and construction. But for the next few months, probably until around November or so, we'll be drawing up, you know, the plans of the building. The architects will be working on those and what it's actually going to be like. You know, you have to have electrical plans and all of that kind of stuff. So that's what the architects will be doing here in the next few months.
And pretty flat site there, so I wouldn't think a lot of site preparation there, right?
Not a lot. We'll be tearing down parts of the building that are in the floodplain there, and so that'll be helpful too. We won't have to worry about that.
Well, last day of school, teachers, last day tomorrow. Everybody will wrap it up. Congratulations. I mean, I know there's always excitement for the new year to begin, but congratulations on the year ending.
Yeah, it's always nice to look back and reflect and what we did right and what we could improve upon, and then we're planning for the year ahead.
Okay. All right, Superintendent. Appreciate the time. Thank you, sir.
All righty. You have a good day.
All right, you too. That's Superintendent of Schools in Kanawha County, Tom Williams, and they have wrapped up the school year, doing so today. And, you know, I didn't ask him, why is the last day of school on a Monday? I mean, I know it's a calendar deal. I mean, I don't know what the absenteeism today is. Probably a good bit. Probably pretty high. But I always liked the last day. You know, I always liked the last day of school. Because when I grew up, and Caitlin doesn't know about this, when I grew up, you get these little things of ice cream on the last day. You got those too. Okay. Those little, like, cool deal ice creams. You didn't get all the time, but you got them. You know, you got them on the last day. So that was one of the advantages for sure. Phone calls to 580 Live, a service of Sears Monument Company, offering quality memorials since 1911 with locations in Charleston, Huntington, Beckley, and Parkersburg. And don't forget, live streaming of 580 Live brought to you by attorney Larry L. Rowe. Visit LarryLRowe.com or call 304-925-1333, 304-925-1333. 1333. Okay, we'll talk about the city. City of Charleston issues coming up. Matt Sutton with the mayor's office is next on 580 Live on 580 WCHS.
The brand new Generations Physical Therapy for Nitro and Cross Lanes is now open.
Get your appointment at generationspt.com.
You want it? Click it.
Reserve it and drive it.
Buy it at Thornhill.
Buy it at Thornhill.
Buy it at Thornhill.
That's right. Getting your new vehicle just got easier.
Visit any of our six locations and get a personalized experience in preferencing your next new vehicle.
Tag one of our pre-built invoices.
Or let's customize your exact features with our easy built-to-order process.
All we have to offer with shopping ease at ThornhillAutomotive.com.
Tag your new ride.
Tag your new ride.
Tag your new ride.
Tag your new ride.
On the Thornhill Motor Mile.
Hey, this is Dave Allen for Parmar Stores. And what do Kent, Ohio, Woodsfield, Ohio, Hurricane, West Virginia, Huntington, West Virginia, and Elkview, West Virginia all have in common? These are just a few of the recent communities where Parmar has opened new stores. And in the month of May, Parmar will open 5 new stores in Greenbrier County, West Virginia alone. We're always hiring at our Parmar stores, too. Visit parmarstores.com/careers. Download the Parmar app and sign up for our rewards card. And remember, folks, if there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be soon.
Some X's are a real pain in the backside, but Omega Commercial Interiors has the X that's all about stress-free comfort. Hi, I'm David McCormick, owner of Omega Commercial Interiors, and I'm talking about the amazing X chair. Infinite recline, dynamic variable lumbar support, and available heat and massage make the X chair a customer favorite. Omega Commercial Interiors has X chairs in stock and ready to ship. The X chair is the X you'll love to see every day. Learn more at OmegaCommercialInteriors.com.
Now, fourth quarter figures are trending down.
There was that 3-day seminar in the middle of nowhere. That late night at the office finishing the report.
The 4-hour-long conference call.
And a missed connecting flight in Atlanta. But one weekend on the water with your family makes it all worthwhile.
Trojan Landing Marine in Charleston, offering the finest in pontoons, deck boats, and fishing boats. Get on the water. You've earned it. Online at TrojanLanding.com.
Presented by RX Bytel Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's west side. Proud to bring you RX Bypack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at RxBytel.com.
We're back on 580 Live on 580 WCHS, the voice of Charleston, Jeff Jenkins with you today and tomorrow in the Parmar Store studio. Parmar continues to be the fastest growing convenience store chain in America, recently opening up new locations in Elkview, Hurricane, and Huntington. And this month, 5 new Parmar locations will open up in Greenbrier County. If there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be soon. All right, I've been joined. Been joined by guests here in the studio. Matt Sutton, Chief of Staff with the Mayor's Office, is here. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good. You're an old pro at this.
I've been here a few times, but it's my first time with you on here. So
yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, it's good to see you, Matt. Good to see you. And we've got John Ingram here. John, introduce yourself, please.
Hey, yeah, it's great to be here. My name is John Ingram. I'm a musician, producer in the area, and I'm on the Live on the Levee committee, so I'm excited to rap with you a little bit about that.
All right, yeah. Live on the Levee is just a couple of days away. Matt, can you believe it?
Full schedule this year. It's so great to be back and be able to have things, you know, back in line. We always are excited for change and new things, but it seems like Live on the Levee, we really needed that Memorial Day to Labor Day type schedule, because it just worked out better. You know, we were able to get a full schedule in last year, but we ended up doubled up with high school football and things like that. We don't want to compete with that, so we're just excited to be able to have it back. And I was downtown this weekend, and it was jam-packed, so I can't imagine what Friday is going to be when we get that first Live on a Levee back.
I don't know. There's something – I just got a feeling here that it's going to be a huge summer in Charleston, right, with event. I know the schedule, but it just seems like people are wanting to get out and do stuff.
Yeah, and I think it's really going to be it's one of those things where we look at the schedule and everybody gets super excited, and then in the mayor's office we get really tired because we realize we have to
do it. Absolutely.
But, you know, having people like John, who have helped out with Live on Levee, and Mike Pushkin, who have really been true pushers in this, and obviously Jim Strawn, who's been involved with it since pretty much the beginning, Live on a Levee really being that anchor around everything else that we're going to have. Obviously, with the Regatta coming back, Multifest being a part of it, everything going on at the convention center, with Slack Plaza opening up, with the Fife Street Brewery open. I mean, it's just been everything. But that true anchor that we've had in this community for a long time, Live on a Levee, really driving that weekend traffic is just – folks are extremely excited for it.
Yeah, and I would think, John, that it has – some of it has its built-in, you know, people who are just faithful attenders and people who come all the
time.
That's
right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like Matt said, it's the linchpin of so much that goes on, in my opinion. I mean, there's so many great events, and but those 15 weeks, I mean, there are many cities that can say they put on 15 weeks of free music and entertainment throughout the, you know. It's amazing. And yeah, there's a huge built-in crowd, which artists love, who've never been here before. They come and they see thousands of smiling faces out there. But then there's also a lot of people who travel in from out of state and out of town to come and see artists that they love. So it's a great combination of both, really.
Yeah, and Matt, I mean, what's great about it, you've got, there's Haddad Riverfront Park, and behind it, you've got the river.
Right.
I mean, so there you go. I mean, people get on the river and they listen.
It really is. It's one of those things where it's almost... as I sit in it, you watch it, and you're there, and you're having fun. I almost enjoy going over to the McCorkle Avenue side of things and just looking at what's happening, because you can't get a full picture standing on the boulevard. But if you're over on McCorkle Avenue and you see all the boats that are sort of tied together, everybody's sitting there listening, and then you see the stage, and you see everybody not only in the, you know, you see them on the Schoenbaum stage, you see them at Haddad, but then you see the boulevard. It's just an amazing thing, and I think John hit the nail on the head. There just aren't a lot of cities that do something like this that can continue to do it, and not only – you know, have free concerts, but have really either established or up and coming artists. And I think that's one of the things John and I were talking about before we got here, of getting a lot of these artists sort of on the upswing of their career. And next thing you know, Sierra Farrell was one we had
last
year. John was talking about that. He can talk more about, but like, you end up with somebody who starts out here and then next thing you know, they're on national records and touring all across the country.
Yeah, that's great. And one of the, I don't know if you can come up with a better photo of Charleston than stand on Southside Bridge, see the sunset, right? See the lights from Live on the Levee, see the boulevard. I mean, that's just a great shot.
I was just getting ready to say that exact same thing. I mean, there's a, you know, kind of a classic picture that we use in a lot of the Levee materials and things from the Southside Bridge. It's night. Like Matt was saying, you see the boulevard and all the food trucks and all the people and the band down there and the lights and everything. A lot of times when we're hitting up agents, you know, send that picture down, you know, well, tell us about this event. You can give them a little blurb. But as soon as they send that or see that picture, you get a full picture of what, you know, it's going to be, what you're dealing with. And it's pretty magical.
Well, John, why don't you step us through the process? Because this is a huge process. When do you guys start lining up and how do you do that?
Well, we start, the committee usually starts meeting right after the holidays, you know, early January, just by design. I mean, it's hard to get together much earlier than that because things are so busy in the late fall and early winter. But, of course, there's a lot of fundraising and development that has to go into it to get the dough together to make this thing fly. But yeah, there's a committee of us that all meet, and we start going over local and regional folks that we like. Applications start coming in, usually those, I think, in February, March. So... And once those start rolling in, then the real, you know, heavy lifting starts, and we kind of have to suss out, you know, who needs a shot or who was just on. I mean, it's a process, and everybody weighs in. It's a democratic process, and then we go talk to agents and, you know, see who's available. Like Matt said, who's on the upswing, who's within our price range. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts that go into it for sure.
Do you try to balance? Because some people like some types of music, some people like other types of music. How do you play that balance?
We just try to find, you know, for example, you know, we were talking about Drew Parker, who's up and kind of rising star in the pop country world. You know, we look at people like that. We look at people like Neil Francis, who's going to be on the show, piano rock guy. Folks like, let's see, who else? You know, of course, a lot of regional and local. You just try to be diverse. You know, you want to make sure you're covering all the bases and that people are going to be well represented, you know, stylistically, from a diversity standpoint, you know, hitting all those check marks, you know.
Was last year the first year we started Heavy Metal Night?
It was indeed.
Yeah.
So and we're doing that again this year.
Yeah, so then you talk about different genres of music. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, there was a very strong local contingent of heavy metal rock. I'm not a music guy, so I'll get the terminology mixed up.
You're right
but,
on it. Yeah.
But in that world, who always kept saying, "Well, how come we don't have a night? How come we don't have a night?" So, well, let's do it. And last year,
we had Byzantine, and two other acts, and this year we're doing the same format, so a little differently than the two like opener headliner format that we typically do. We do three because they typically these harder rock bands play shorter sets, you know, so. But people showed up for that. Right. I mean, they definitely sounded off, and they wanted it, and we gave it to them. And you know, and now it's happening again because people showed up and showed out. So it's pretty exciting when that happens and it's successful.
Okay, so set up Friday night, coming up on Friday night, a couple of some top of mind type folks that that are kind of familiar, right? So what's the schedule Friday night?
Friday night, so we'll have a band called Redline who's opening, and they're a younger soul R&B kind of band, very, very good. A lot of people, familiar faces, you'll realize, kind of come together and form this new band, Redline. And then we'll have the Carpenter Ants with some special guests. Of course, the Carpenter Ants, you know, are staples here in town, bring out a lot of the local regional favorites, or fans rather, and they'll have Larry Gross from Mountain Stage as a special guest, John Ellison, who of course wrote Some Kind of Wonderful, who's from here, and then also Nikki D, who's the Sacred Steel player from Ohio. And so it's like Sacred Steel is, you know, she plays the pedal steel, but more in like the gospel tradition versus the country tradition. Very rocking. It's going to be a pretty fun night.
Wow, that does sound like a great lineup. So it began. What's the first concert begins at?
6:30.
6:30
on Friday. The opener will start to play an hour, a little switch over, and then 2 45-minute sets for the headliner.
All right,
Carpenter Ants.
Yeah, and Matt Sutton's with us with the Mayor's Office, Chief of Staff, and John Ingram with the Live on the Levee Committee. We're talking about Live on the Levee gets started Friday night, and Matt, you know. The return on investment is big, and I'm sure the return on investment in Live on the Levee has been measured over the years, right? And it's really good.
Sure. I mean, I think that's one of the things, too. You know, when you think about it, it is expensive to put something like this on, and especially now where, as John and I were talking about earlier, like musicians are touring is how they make their money. So it does become a little bit more expensive. But we think about the bleed over not only before Live on the Levee, where all the restaurants and the bars downtown are full, but you see it after as well as people continue to hang around downtown. But not only that, but one of the nice things that's been added to Live on the Levee is now that we're seeing more food trucks in Charleston and Huntington and in this region, now we've got, you know, we went from 4 or 5 different places to eat to 10 or 12 different places, and that's starting to be a booming thing in the area as well. And we've connected with those folks that have led us to, we're going to do Food Truck Wednesdays in City Center at Slack Plaza now with the same type of people. So it really is one of those things that is just, it's as much about, you know, returning on investment in terms of B&O taxes and tax dollars, as it is just about building excitement and morale in Charleston as well. And I think that's the thing of, especially, you know, there's never been a more important time coming out of COVID over the last couple of years for people to have events like this, especially outdoors. And so when you think about what we're building as a whole, not only with what Live on the Levee is, but what we're now having at the convention center and the municipal auditorium, where it's every week or every other week where we have major performers in town. And we've really created this. When you think about what Charleston has, we've got the convention center and the Coliseum that holds the very big acts. We have the Municipal Auditorium that holds another level. And then we've got the Clay Center. We've got Mountain Stage. We've got Live on the Levee. And now we have a stage at Slack Plaza. It's a City Center at Slack Plaza. We've really become this town that is just really centered on music and the arts and festivals. And it's just it's the return we get is immeasurable in terms of that, because one event builds on the next and builds on the next. And then you end up with a capstone like the Regatta that's going to come back, where – it is one of those things to where, you know, not only do we have these big major acts, but we're going to have battle of the bands of local bands for the Regatta, that it's just, it's really become what Charleston is being known for. And that return and that sort of image is just, it's something we can't put a price tag on.
Well, and it's also, I mean, it sets real great for you because it's so walkable.
That's right.
Yeah. Right? I mean, it's just a walkable place. I mean, you can go to Live on 11, go downtown, or eat before, or eat there. Or, I mean, and you can walk all of this.
Yeah, it's easy. You know, my father lives over on the East End, and he just bikes over and just comes and rides his bike, you know, if the weather's nice, and then hangs out, gets his food, and then, you know, listens to some music and goes on home. And I think that's it in Charleston, and that's that idea that, you know, you're going to be able to park – you know, what we might think is a mile away, which is actually, you know, a couple blocks away, and be right downtown, right on the riverfront, watching music, and then be able to be back home in 10 minutes. It's not, you know, we always joke, if you sit in traffic in Charleston for 5 minutes, then it's like, you know, an eternity. But, you know, most places, that's, nobody else has that, and be able to, to get in and out and enjoy yourself downtown. Outdoor dining on Capitol Street and Hale Street starts back up again this weekend, so they'll be shut down, so you'll be able to sit outside, have fun, and do all that, especially with the expanded seating. It's just, it really is an exciting time. And I think, you know, over the last 3 years, we've pushed really hard to try to build this kind of vibe in Charleston, and it's all coming together this summer.
And that, I'm really excited about that. That outdoor seating deal was started during the pandemic to help those restaurants because you couldn't do indoor. And now it's been such a success, you just continue it.
Yeah, it's one of, I mean, we, you know, it started, and I joke, I said, I never thought something would be so complicated as trying to put together outdoor dining during COVID, because you had to think of all the little things that were going to, it took a long time, but now it's just like clockwork, and now it's just a huge demand, and not only from the restaurants, but from everyone who's just constantly, I probably get more texts of, when are you closing down Capitol Street? When are you closing down Industrial?
I was ready to say, I've been reading that on social media, people are like, when are we bringing out outdoor seating again? I mean, it's now a thing, right?
Yeah, and it's one of those things, not only does it help the businesses, but it's all just about creating a sense of community, driving people downtown. You know, this weekend I was out, my wife owns a small business, and Fridays and Saturdays are her toughest, the longest days, so sometimes we don't get to go out, but we went out and just walked around downtown, and with Fife Street Brewing opening up and it being outdoor seating and people sitting in Slack Plaza, and you just walking around, and it's like, this is going to be a very, it was packed, and it's going to be a very tame weekend for Charleston, because everything gets started this Friday night, and it just doesn't end until, I don't know, September, basically, October. Right. It's exciting.
Exactly, exactly. All right, good to have both you guys. We'll take a break and come back with our two guests, Matt Sutton and John Ingram, back in a moment on 580 Live on 580 WCHF.
Brought to you by the Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses. Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses care for your family.
Summer starts here,
and it's time to get back to the Thornhill Motor Mile.
We're inviting you to enjoy summer in style with the all-new Thornhill Toyota National Sales Event.
Click or come by to save on the new 2022 Toyota RAV4 Hybrid, or America's best-selling car, Toyota Camry, with 1.75% APR for 48 months, all with our Thornhill Value Plus warranty. Summer starts here with the National Sales Event at the all-new Thornhill Toyota. Visit us online at thornhilltoyotawb.com and on the Thornhill Motor Mile, US 119 Chapmanville.
Offer ends May 31st, 2022. Must qualify through TPS, tax, title, license, and $499 dock fee not included. See Thornhill for all details.
Hey, happy Monday to you. It's Coop here to remind you of the Pappy's Cool Word of the Day. It's a chance to cool down this summer with a drawing for a $14,000 HVAC Central heating and cooling unit upgrade and installation. Today's Pappy's Cool Word of the Day is Pappy's Ductwork. Tune in this morning between 11 and 12 and listen for Pappy's Ductwork and be the first to call 304-345-5858 to nab a 580 WCHS swag bag and earn your entry for a drawing of a new central heating and cooling unit from Pappy's Air Comfort. For more information, WCHSnetwork.com/cool.
Poca Valley Bank, your community bank, is ready to serve you for all of your banking and financial needs. Poca Valley Bank has been serving customers in your community since 1908. Stop by one of our 7 convenient locations in Elkview, Sissonville, Poca, Winfield, Clendenin, Spencer, or Walton, and let us become your community bank. Visit us online at PocaValleyBank.com to learn more about our personal and business services. Poca Valley Bank, where relationships matter. Member FDIC.
This is Jim Strawn for Bankers Life. For over 140 years, Bankers Life has provided financial security to their clients and policyholders. During this same time, Bankers Life has helped change the lives of many of their associates personally, professionally, and financially. Questions regarding Medicare and Social Security? 304-757-4134. If you're interested in a free review with a financial advisor or looking for a new career in the financial industry, contact them, Dennis Harmison at bankerslife.com. Dennis, H-A-R-M-I-S-O-N at bankerslife.com. There's no life like the banker's life.
Presented by RX by Tel Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's west side. Proud to bring you RX by Pack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at rxbytel.com.
This is 580 Live on 580 WCHS, the voice of Charleston. Jeff Jenkins with you this morning, Parmar Store Studios. And thanks to our guest this morning, Matt Sutton, Chief of Staff for Charleston Mary Schuler Goodwin and John Ingram, who is on the live on the levee, and we're getting ready for our first live on the levee this coming Friday. And John, I wanted to ask you about, you know, it's people want to come here. I mean, the Yaks want to come here. When they contact you, you contact him. Tell me about that. Why they want to come here?
Well, I mean, we're going into our 19th season of Live on the Levee. I mean, if you can imagine that. I mean, and if you look at pictures where the series started and where we are now, it's amazing. The just visually the difference. But I mean, when you've done it for that long and had so many, you know, players a part of it, and we take really a lot of pride in doing it right and having great production, great sound, lights, and the whole experience is really, I mean, pretty top-notch, you know. So that word travels among agents and management teams and artists, and so the artists that have played here go and tell other artists and musicians. They say, well, you got to check out what's happening in Charleston. And so that word spreads organically. I mean, you know, but you know, we promote it, and we just put a lot of care and love into it, and people have a great time. I mean, players have a great time. The fans and the audience have a great time. So that word of mouth is, like, invaluable.
Okay, I'm going to get a little inside baseball here. How difficult is it, you're a musician, to get the sound where it needs to be? I mean, you're outdoors, you got the river behind you. I mean, how difficult is that?
Well, it can be extremely difficult. It depends on the act. I mean, if you're dealing with a bluegrass band where you got a ton of mics out there, condenser mics who are maybe very hot and bright and tend to feed back, and you've got acoustic instruments you're trying to dial in, that can be extremely difficult. And, you know, if you got rock and, I mean, everything is kind of case by case, but fortunately we have a top-notch production down there. I mean, and it actually is a pretty great sounding. You wouldn't think it, all that concrete and stuff down there, but it sounds pretty great down there, actually. But yeah, it can be tricky. I mean, that's a part of it, you know, and that's where it starts, because when people go to these shows, they remember how it sounds and what it looked like, right? Yeah. And so, you know, that's a big deal. We're adding some things this year in terms of production, so there'll be a little bit flashier light package down there. And then, of course, Studimo, who handles our sound, and Tom Passanetti, who's our production manager, you know, they just take a lot of care and make sure everybody's got what they need and it's all dialed in and top notch.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And Matt, there's other events that are taking place, right? I mean, the regatta is really, I mean, I'm sure that drawn a lot of attention to the mayor's office.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the regatta is something we started planning for in 2019. We started thinking about, what are we going to do? It was one of the things I know when the mayor ran, and when everybody runs, when they talk about what they'd like to see in Charleston. You know, all of us who are from here, who have lived here, most of us of an age will remember the regatta at some way or the others. I remember it. I remember my parents used to go and work we were at St. Anthony's Church at the time, and they had a little booth they set up to sell hot dogs, and that's how they made a lot of their money. And we'd sit down there and listen to all the concerts and just have a good time. And then as I grew older, going with friends, so everybody remembered it. So we started planning in 2019, and then the world shut down in 2020, and we had to kind of pivot. But it was one of those things to where we knew that this year would be the perfect time if we could pull it all together and bring it back. And I think that having the regatta, not only on the boulevard, but everything that's going to go on in Magic Island with all the free events for the kids, being able now to utilize Slack Plaza. We've got events over at the Capital Market. We'll have the outdoor dining. It's going to be the weekend that I could think that if you're going to be in Charleston, that's the weekend you're going to want to be in Charleston. I mean, you know, with that, but then it doesn't end, right? I mean, then what, 2 weeks later, we're sitting on Multifest, which is one of the largest events we have in town. I think they got Tony coming to town again for people. Maya's coming. Yeah. She's on the Live on the Levee. So people my age, that's who we grew up on. So that's super exciting to be able to have that coming into it. We still have the baseball, you know, pretty much every weekend. The baseball team's in town with everything going on at the convention center, and then all of the other, you know, events that are going on in town, you know, the community groups put together. We had the Charlie West Barbecue Fest this weekend that was jam-packed. It was hot, but it was still jam-packed downtown. It's just – it's every weekend, so it's something if you – there is no more where somebody could sit back on social media and say there's nothing to do in Charleston. That doesn't exist anymore. So there's something you can do. It might not be your thing. I mean, Live on a Levee sometimes, I'm not a huge music person, but I go to Live on a Levee like some people go to the baseball game, where you just go to socialize, hang out, drink beer, and eat hot dogs, and all of a sudden you fall in love with baseball. Well, that's kind of how I've been with Live on a Levee, is just go down there and listen. I'm like, man, these people are really good. And then next thing you know, they're on my Spotify list, and I'm listening to them as I'm driving in the car. And that's what it's all about, is finding something new in life. And that's why I really enjoy Live on 11, because I get exposed to a lot of things that I wouldn't be otherwise, because it's just not part of something I do every day.
Right. Well, it's good to see you both, and we're hoping for good weather this week. And but Live on 11's dealt with bad weather too, right?
So, yeah, we got 15 weeks, so you know there's always going to be something coming down the pike.
All right. Well, good seeing you guys,
and we appreciate it.
We're going to go right into the interview. Are we going to take a break? Okay. All right. I got to pay attention to my producer here, okay? Good seeing you, Matt.
Good seeing you, bud.
Okay, John, good seeing you, too.
Thanks so much.
Okay, great. Live on the Levee this coming Friday. Don't miss it. We're back in a moment on 580 Live.
Brought to you by the Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses. Eric J. Tarr Family Businesses have been creating jobs in West Virginia since 1997.
Summer starts here,
and it's time to get back to the Thornhill Motor Mile.
We're inviting you to enjoy summer in style with the all-new Thornhill Toyota National Sales Event.
Click or come by to save on the new 2022 Toyota RAV4 Hybrid,
or America's best-selling car,
Toyota Camry, with 1.75% APR for 48 months,
all with our Thornhill Value Plus warranty.
Summer starts here with the National Sales Event at the all-new Thornhill Toyota.
Visit us online at thornhilltoyotawb.com and on the Thornhill Motor Mile, US 119 Chapmanville.
Tax on a license and $4.99 doc fee not included. See Thornhill for all details.
If you're not satisfied with your current pharmacy, then check out RX by Tel on Charleston's west side. Of course, they'll fill your prescriptions the old-fashioned way, but they also have RX by Pack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple daily doses, perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions, eliminating possibilities for serious errors. No longer will you need to spend hours every week filling your pill minder. RX by Tel does that for free with RX by Pack. Visit RX by Tel on the west side today. They're your neighborhood pharmacy.
Trading in your business fleet or personal vehicle for a new one? Donate your used vehicle to Good News Mountaineer Garage and get the best tax deduction possible and the satisfaction of knowing your donation changed the life of someone in need. Good News Mountaineer Garage repairs donated vehicles and provides them to qualified West Virginia families, giving them access to employment, safe and affordable housing, health care, and other vital necessities, and putting them on the road to economic independence. Call 1-866-GIVE-CAR today for Good News Mountaineer Garage.
What can I do for you?
We're here to protect you.
Protect me? Like bodyguards or something?
Yeah, exactly.
I think you have the wrong house. I'm not in the witness protection program. Heck, I'm not even in politics.
Yeah,
so...
see that little termite?
Whoa, where'd he come from?
Yeah, he just hung a shingle advertising Dan's Diner. This place will be packed by noon.
Hire Standard Exterminating, and our crew will surround your home with a perimeter tighter than a Secret Service detail. Visit Standard Exterminating online at standardwv.com for more.
Presented by RX by Tel Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy on Charleston's west side. Proud to bring you RX by Pack, a pre-filled pouch system which divides your tablets and capsules into multiple day doses perfectly matched to your doctor's instructions. Learn more at rxbytel.com.
We're in the Parmar Studios of 580 WCHS. The voice of Charleston. This is 580 Live. Jeff Jenkins with you this morning, today, and tomorrow. Dave Allen is off this week. Don't forget this month, it's your favorite Hudson's Pizza location. Get a large 18-inch pepperoni pizza and an order of cinnamon bites with icing. Only $18.99. And on this Monday morning, we're just a couple of days of Run for the Wall from coming through the Kanawha Valley, and we're going to go to Todd Taylor. Todd, I want to thank you, first of all, for holding as long as you held, so I appreciate that. And the run is underway. Tell us who you are, introduce yourself to our audience, and then where are you?
My name is Todd Taylor, and I'm the state coordinator for the Run for the Wall. I'm also the 5th platoon leader, and right now we are pulling in to the Topeka service station in Topeka, Kansas, waiting on fuel.
Okay, so, all right, so you're in Kansas, you're headed your way. When did you start?
We started last Wednesday right outside of Los Angeles, California, in a little town called Ontario, and we are making our way across the country right now as we speak, and we are now on, like I said, we're just pulled into Topeka, Kansas this morning.
All right, so... this was the Run for the Wall. People are familiar here in the Kanawha Valley. We know it's Memorial Day when it's happening, when the riders come through. But this was all. This event was also impacted by COVID. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, 2019 was our last year, and then, like I said, during the COVID pandemic, you know, we got canceled in 20 and 21. So our numbers are a little down this year. You know, because everybody's, I don't know if they forgot about us, but you know, it's. It's to the point where we're trying to build it back up, and you know, we're We're about 300, 350 bikes right now, and we're headed toward Charleston, coming back home.
Run for the Wall. Let me just read the mission statement, and then I'll let you work off of that. To promote healing among all veterans and their families and friends, to call for an accounting for all prisoners of war and those missing in action, to honor the memory of those killed in action from all wars, and to support our military personnel all over the world. They ride for those who can't.
Yes, sir. We in 1989, James Gregory was a Marine Corps veteran, decided a year after Rolling Thunder to ride across the country, and you know, remembering all of our troops that have been, you know, POW, MIA, and those have been lost, and they just made a 10-day trip across the country, visiting different towns, and all these towns now have basically opened themselves up to us. They feed us breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Some of our fuel, the majority of our fuel stops, you know, people have raised money for us throughout the year to basically pay for our fuel and donate it to, you know, to get us across the country.
And what kind of challenge is that this year, Todd, because the fuel prices are just crazy?
Right. It's pretty amazing the amount of support we have throughout the communities. You know, it pretty much, I would say 75% to 80% of our fuel stops, you know, we've been chipping in donations, and it's just amazing the amount of support, you know, the local communities have got for us, just, you know, to help us with our gas to get across the country.
Okay, so Run for the Wall will be heading into our area. You're in Kansas now. Give us kind of the schedule of when will you be heading into the Kanawha Valley?
We will be arriving in Nitro, Thursday, and we should be arriving about 5:30 p.m. for dinner and our overnight stop in Nitro.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about, I mean, Nitro is one of those cities that's kind of embraced this event.
Yeah. Well, a couple years ago, when the wave pool and hurricane, we were normally stopping there. They were under construction. So we were scrambling around trying to find a place to help it, and Mayor Casebolt said, you know, bring it up here. We'd love to have you. And we worked it out with them, and all the support with them. They've opened up their, you know, basically their town, promoting us on social media and everything. And, when we leave Thursday morning, we'll be going to the Capitol, and we'll be, just give us a little bit of time to get, you know, because we're coming in rush hour. But we'll be at the Capitol at 9 a.m. Thursday morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've been fortunate enough to cover a couple of these events, especially at the Capitol. And what always gets me, Todd, is that there's so many stories there, right? You've got personal stories. People are writing for other people. I mean, maybe people they served with. I mean, there's just so many personal stories on this ride.
Yeah, it's amazing. Pretty much anybody that runs on this run, there's a picture taped to the front of their windshield, and they're riding for those that are missing in action, you know, killed in action, or just anybody that's part of their family that's been in the military.
And then you guys go from here. Once you get here, then I'm right, the route usually is the U.S. Route 60, right?
That's correct. When we leave the Capitol, we end up in Raynell. And that's one of the greatest stops that you'll ever witness. These kids have waited all year long to come out and just basically treat us like rock stars. They want our autographs, and we raise money throughout the year and throughout this run and make a pretty sizable donation to the principal right now to do whatever she wants to do, whether it be, you know, give coats, beds, anything for the kids. It's up to her to use it as you wish.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, that's great. And as you mentioned, I mean, this is, this didn't happen yesterday as far. I mean, this is an event missed a couple years because of COVID, but this is a tried and true event, right? With a purpose.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is the 32nd run that we have made. Like I said, it started in 1989, and with the minus the 2 years of COVID, this is our 32nd run.
Mm-hmm. Todd, I've been fortunate enough also to drive across the country, and I mean, the sights you guys see on the ride itself. I mean, it's a ride of endurance. I don't know physically how difficult is it to ride a motorcycle across the country.
It's long, hard days. The way we ride, you know, we ride side by side on the central route and the southern route and the midway route, but we ride side by side. It's definitely not a sightseeing trip because you're pretty much focused on the motorcycle in front of you. But yeah, the sights, and when you get a chance to basically look around, which is very, you know, it's not very often, it's beautiful country out here.
And then you get to the wall, and what's that like at the wall?
It's an amazing experience. You know, I know a couple Gold Star families that have, you know, lost their loved ones in Vietnam, and it's very moving. You've got some guys that have never been to the wall because they just can't do it. They basically stop, and we have a chaplain that run with us, and they help them out. Mm-hmm. They talk to them, they counsel them, you know, they hold their hands, and we get them down there. And like I said, that's a part of the mission statement, is to provide healing. And that's what happens. You know, it's an amazing experience.
Okay, so Run for the Wall, it arrives about 5:30 on Wednesday in Nitro. Ceremony honoring the riders will be held shortly thereafter at Nitro's Living Memorial Park on 2nd Avenue, and then a dinner at St. Paul's United Methodist Church, and then staying overnight in the area, and then taking off the next morning. Charleston police help you. Nitro Charleston police get to the Capitol grounds, and then U.S. Route 60 from there.
Yes, that's correct.
All right. And I know you get, and I know there are local people too, Todd, who stand out, know when you're coming, and they get in, you know, certain areas where they can see you, and they wave their American flags as you come past.
Yeah. One of the best amazing experiences you do is when we go under overpasses. You know, people come out, hang flags, fire trucks, emergency medical services. They're just there waving their flags. They want to see 350 motorcycles, you know, basically a really tight formation. We're about a mile long when we get running, and it's just an amazing sight to see and have all of the supporters out there. It kind of restores your faith in humanity a little bit when you see the support we get across the country.
Todd, thanks for calling, and good talking to you. Safe travels. We'll see you guys Wednesday evening.
Thanks for having me, and if anybody has any questions, our website is rftw.us. And like I said, you know, all of our contact information is in there. If you have anybody has any questions, feel free to give me a call. I'm on the Central Route Coordinator list.
Okay.
So, thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Todd. All right. There is Todd Taylor with Run for the Wall. They'll be here at midweek. Well, that's one show down. Dave Allen says this is hard. Come on, man. All right. Coming up next is ABC News. Caitlin, help me. All the way through. So we've got another show tomorrow. Got a couple interesting guests tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. Stay tuned. ABC News is next. Jake Flatley with local news, and Hoppy's back. Metro News Talk Line at 10:06. This is 580 WCHS, the voice of Charleston.
WCHSAM, 96.5 FM Charleston, and 104.5 Cross Lanes, a WVRC media station. We're proud to live here, too.